Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
You guys, it's taking it personally. My guest and I are so excited about the lack of taglines needed for tip episodes. Although it does feel weird because there's been such a dearth of housewives content. So I've been doing a lot of taking it personally. It's the same. It's like we're continuing the conversation, but TIP, tip, here's a tip, doesn't have taglines. So I just feel weird because I haven't done a tag in a minute.
It also has a very sultry theme song, intro music.
For tip?
Yeah. It's like very seductive.
Is it?
I think maybe it's just like the way you, I don't know. There's something about it that I think is like way more.
Yes. Sex phone operator. Yeah, 99 cents a minute. Join the Patreon.
That seems low, but.
Isn't it? No, 99 cents a minute. Oh, I guess that was like early 90s.
I was going to say that was how much they were charging a long time ago for those plot lines.
Yeah, so shout out to T. Kyle, who composed the tip intro, outro. One of the most brilliant minds of our generation. And I'm in the same generation as him because we are the same age. I actually think he's like probably 30 or 31. So I'm slightly younger by several years. Uh-huh. Anyway, welcome back to Taking It Personally, Housewives writer and culture commentator, Lewis Peitzman. Lewis Peitzman, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming to the Clough. You know, I so appreciate and respect a lovely little schlep.
I love it. Well, as you know, I got Botox today for the first time.
I didn't know that we were going to discuss that publicly.
Oh, yeah, it's not a secret.
I wasn't sure if that was a private health matter.
No, not at all. I almost tweeted about it, but then I didn't necessarily think that work would like that I like left during the day to get Botox. But it was for a medical reason. So I think it's fine.
And the medical reason, if you're okay sharing.
Oh, yeah, that I just like, I sweat from my forehead a lot. And so I was like, I didn't tell you this part.
No.
Yeah. So I always have a sweaty forehead. It drives me crazy because it's just like, I'm not like a big sweater in general. Like my body, it's whatever. Mm-hmm. When it gets above 60 degrees and I go anywhere, I'm like sweating from the face for like 2 hours.
And it's just your face?
Yeah. The doctor was like, that's so unusual, but not unheard of.
It's so unusual, but not unheard of that it's just the face.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people do it for their armpits, too.
Yeah,
right?
It's much more common to get it for, like, armpits, hands, feet. Although, apparently, like, hands is shockingly painful, as you can imagine. It's like 40 shots in your palm.
I mean, I've never gotten Botox before again. So, yeah.
So young.
But I've had a bunch of IVs in my hand just from, like, hospital or doctor stuff. And the difference in discomfort level between an arm and a hand, it is
I've had a lot of mid-afternoon blood draws from my hand because my veins are so deep in my arm and they're like, we're just going to go to the back of your hand. And I'm like, you're going to torture me is what you're going to do.
I remember, what is it called? The sonogram? I remember when I was in the ICU and the doctors were like, we need to keep drawing like whatever, but we can't find a vein. And they said they were going to do a
ultrasound. Yeah, yeah.
I was calling
that happened to me at the ER.
They said they were going to do an ultrasound. I swear to God, I'm not a fucking idiot. But I was like, oh, awesome. No, no. Because I don't have an issue with like needles and giving blood. But I'm just like from a comfort level, like, great, you're going to do an ultrasound. I don't need to have the needle. I thought somehow that... I'm dead serious that they were going to like put the ultrasound thing over my arm and somehow like detect. I wasn't really thinking it through, but I completely understood that like, oh, the ultrasound is instead of the needle. You're just going to kind of like float it over my arm or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see what you need to see. And they were like, babe, no, it's to get the vein so that we can actually draw blood. I was like, oh,
they
I thought we were
substituting. Also told me that it's very painful to do that because they have to just kind of stick it wherever they find the vein and that it's not going to necessarily be a pleasant draw is what I was told.
This is so fun for people who have any kind of fear of blood draws. But I remember I took photos like the days after I was discharged and my whole arm.
Yeah,
and then I felt like I had to explain to people because it looked concerning, you know?
Sure.
And so I was like, no, I was just not, which I was in the hospital. It doesn't really help. But like, and then it became like a war wound of like, yeah, I look nuts, but it's because I just fucking almost died. So sure,
well,
I might look a little fucked up.
My Botox today was much less extreme than that. But
so how are you feeling? How is the botulism going?
It's going well.
Is it?
They gave me a small amount, he said. He was like, he was like, if it doesn't feel like it's working in 2 weeks, like, I'll give you more for no extra charge.
That's so nice.
Well, given
Bogo.
How much they charge, they definitely should, you know. It was so expensive. I knew it was going to be expensive, but I was still like, this is stupid.
Will insurance cover that because
not
it's
all.
Not cosmetic?
But it is cosmetic. Like, it's not, like, they're considering it cosmetic. Everything's considered cosmetic, basically. They can, you know. It's fine.
Honor.
Anyway, that was my day, and I was told to have like a relaxing night.
This is not.
But all to say, commuting here was, I think, still pretty relaxing. So I'm okay.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, I had a nice train ride.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. Yeah.
You know,
this is great.
I love the queue.
I love it. I mean, it's just like the queue is honestly the most relaxing of trains outside of in New York City, outside of the like Metro North, which I enjoy a Metro North because I have a good friend in Bronxville. So I have gone to a couple dinner parties at his mansion recently. Mm-hmm. And when I am on the train coming back like later on at night, I'm like, oh, this is very chill. I know it can be nuts, but I've enjoyed it.
If you go out at the off time, it's great. If you go rush hour, it's terrible.
Yeah. So I've been fortunate in that way. But I'm so glad that you're feeling zen and feeling, you know, sweat free.
I'm
dry.
Moving my face while I can.
Does it set in? It doesn't set in immediately.
He said it takes like 2 weeks. And also, it wasn't, when it's done for sweat, it's not as deep into the muscle. It's like a little bit, it's more to target your sweat gland. So it's like a shallower poke. But he was like, we can't really control where it ends up exactly. So it will cause some
movement.
Like to not lack of movement.
Isn't that issue with filler that it travels?
Well, I would never do that. But I think, yeah. I mean, anything you inject, any kind of injectable, I think it's like they do their best and there are like techniques, but it's like you only have so much control over that.
When it comes to celebrities who have talked openly or at least like, I don't know how open Madonna's been about it, but like there are some instances, I feel like 90% of the instances of people using filler at the point in which we have an understanding that something looks different, it looks just so unnatural.
Well, it's a look, and I think that some people, but I think that,
people
it
want
looks
that.
Better. And then whenever I see someone who has like crazy filler, and then they clearly got it removed, and they look so much better after, and you're like, oh, Madonna's a good example. Like, remember Madonna looked really crazy for a while, and then when the tour happened, she kind of looked normal. I mean, she looks like she had work done, but she looked so much more normal than she had looked. Like,
I just saw a photo of her in a
she got more
periodical
again.
And I'm like, oh, sweetie, it hurts my heart.
Listen,
it hurts my heart. As long as she's happy.
Tough. I don't get filler at all. I mean, not I don't understand,
you don't understand
it.
I also
don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't need it, but
humble brag. Listen, you know what I do need
to talk about
a little show called Vanderpump Rules.
Heard of it.
And I feel like I have a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
I saw on social there was a big reaction to the episode. I have been really delaying when I've been watching stuff. So yesterday I watched Potomac. Today I watched Summer House, The Valley, and Vanderpump Rules, and we're recording this on Friday. So yeah. I am not speedy. I don't feel the need to like urgently watch stuff. But I had in my back pocket people saying they were really upset by the newest episode of Vanderpump. And I watched it and I was like, oh, like, I'm not that upset. And so and it's not to take away from that. Like, I love when people have big feelings, but I'm the kind of person who like, I yearn for the big feeling that other viewers are having. Yeah, yeah. So I'm curious for your reaction to the most recent ep specifically, or just kind of your feeling about VPR overall.
Well, I would say I was very upset, and it was twofold.
Mm.
The first upset of mine is that I am being asked to believe that Tom Schwartz and Katie are trying to date this woman, Tori, and that that is being treated as a actual thing that is happening.
So I thought it was like dumb and fake during the trailer, but during the episode, I'm still confused about this specific person because she just looks so young.
She looks young and is young.
Yeah, that's a distraction for me.
Well, I think there is real attraction there. Like, I don't think that was fake, but I think that like it's so clearly, especially because the season has been a struggle, and I would imagine from production's point of view, like they were concerned about how things were going. This just feels, and I don't like to watch these shows and be like, that seems fake to me. I try to just kind of go with it because you can go crazy trying to imagine like what's producer interference and like what's staged or whatever. It just kind of takes the fun away from it in a lot of ways. So I don't try to go into that mode too often. But this felt insulting to me where I was like, Ariana's having finally like talking about, not that her anger isn't totally justified, but it was a different mode for her to be like, I am so sad about what he did to me. We cut from that to this bullshit Tori scene, and I'm like, that's insulting to me. Like, I want something real, and you're giving me Tori. So that was an area where I was upset.
Maybe Tori is real. This cast is so incestual in their dating patterns. Or is it?
But it was so out of nowhere that she was like asking, sort of like throwing herself at both of them, and they were like so down. And I don't think that like Tom Schwartz seems like a kind of go with the flow kind of guy, but I don't know that Katie is like jumping on every person who asks her out. Well, I guess she was drunk. So
and she was also interested.
I know. It just didn't read real to me. I was just and I also just felt like it was, if they had been building to this in some way, like they introduced her at the beginning of the season as like Sheena's friend, right? Like she was wasn't she the nanny?
Sheena said she was the nanny on the app, and I was a little.
Wasn't she the one that they were talking with Summer Moon?
Oh, maybe she looked different. She looked,
I think her hair color changed. I think that was the same person.
I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm not confident enough to say that. Anyway, so that was upsetting, and then I found the Joe and Tom Schwartz stuff to be very upsetting to me on a like triggering personal level.
How so?
I just think that like, you know, the men on these shows kind of, they behave badly, as we know, but they usually behave badly in ways that I can't recognize in people that I've known. Like, I just, like, haven't had friends in my life or people that I was dating who, like, did that degree of, like, cheating, gaslighting, manipulation, whatever, thankfully. But, like, the much more, like, normal kind of, I'm gonna string you along and we're like best friends who hang out and have sex and we like kind of are dating, but we're not actually dating because I don't want to be in a relationship, but I'm going to act like we're in a relationship when it's convenient, but also like we're not. That behavior is so familiar to me that I found it very triggering. I was like, I've been there a million times and like had that talk on the couch. And I just like, I don't really want to watch Joe. I don't find her someone that I like want to see on TV, but like the way that she was sort of brought on and then sort of had her heart broken like that, it just was like very unpleasant to me.
I don't think she's meant for reality TV. I don't think she's meant for any TV, but especially reality TV.
And it's just like, also the whole thing bums me out, and the fact that like immediately after she like runs to Rachel's podcast, it's like, it's just kind of like, I don't know. Like the whole thing, like it's depressing to me. And I think that particular scene and her like being like, I don't even care, I just want to be happy. But like she's clearly miserable. Like, it was just too real for me.
I thought it was kind of a downer, but again, I wasn't upset. I feel kind of weird about that. Like, why am I not upset?
I just think it's like a very relatable experience for a lot of people. I think it's like very emotionally immature 41-year-old man in a situationship. Like, that is just like something that I recognize all too well. And so that, it's triggering to me. I don't think that it's like the scene itself was it's sad, but it's not like, I have compassion for Joe, but I don't like care about Joe. So it's not, I'm not sad on the level of like, oh my God, I feel so bad for Joe. It's more just like, I have empathy and my own baggage that I'm bringing to this.
I mean, he does say on the after show, you know, I just didn't want to be in a relationship with her, which is very different from what he's saying on camera, which is, I don't want to be in a relationship, or I don't want to be in a relationship right now. So he left out kind of the most important point. But to a certain extent, it's like, what are the context clues here? I mean, this is the kind of thing that I guess you just sort of learn over time, and like situationships, fuckboys, or you don't. If someone wants to be with you, they will.
Yeah.
If he's not choosing you.
It's like.
I know he's manipulating her, but I'm like, she is making an active choice to. She was making an active choice to participate in this. So like, God bless her for leaving it. Like, that's great.
But I think that we've all. I have certainly made those same choices, and it's very relatable. And so it's like, and I think that what I'm very curious about what we didn't see on camera, because Tom is not giving us an accurate version of what happened when he was asked when they last had sex, and he was like, what did he even say? Like, she was like a month ago.
What's a body? It's just like we
know that. So I think he was probably doing some version of breadcrumbing, as the TikTok term. I don't know if it's TikTok or psychology, but you know what I'm talking about, breadcrumbing.
One of the same.
He's probably doing that. Also, like, this is like specifically triggering, is that I have gone to a red light, green light party with someone I was in a situationship with and had to negotiate whether we were wearing red or green because we weren't in a relationship.
Yeah.
That cut so deep, because I was like, I've been there. I don't see myself in Joe.
I mean, I think I'm just at the point in my life where, you know, if I'm going to like a singles event, there would be some sort of conversation with the person I was maybe fucking of, like, are we going here to see other people? And Joe's behavior at that event, it's like, I definitely feel empathy for her. I just don't care about her, I'm not dismissive of her feelings. She was sort of placed upon us and it doesn't fit.
Like Tori, just kind of.
I mean.
No, but it's, I mean, I hear you. I think for me, it's like.
It's uncomfortable to
I think that.
She's like, uncomfortable.
She's so
to
uncomfortable
watch.
To watch. I think that there's a way to watch all this and react and be like, that could not be me, because like.
No, that has been me.
But it maybe not now, though. You're saying like now you would have a different.
Yeah. First off, the idea of going to a singles event, I would do it for like content, honestly. I would do like what's that called? Like the quick dating.
Speed dating?
Yeah. Quick dating, fast forward dating. I would do that maybe once, but I don't, just the fear of rejection compounded by maybe 50 people is like the absolute worst nightmare. But I certainly wouldn't do that for fun with someone I was sleeping with, because I'm just that sounds like extra torture to see someone who if I didn't care about them and it was just like sleeping together, nothing else, God bless, but I have not ever I've always felt some sort of caring.
It's just, it's weird, because it was like, I was like, this is something that I'm like having a reaction to, and it's not even about anyone that I care about, and the people that I'm not really having that reaction to, like anything with Ariana and Tom or like most of what's happening this season, I feel like I have no real reaction to, except to say that like I don't know what anyone expected the season to be, from production to the cast.
Well, I think that they were hoping that it would be a continuation of this thing that has turned out for the show to be great, especially after a couple
and ratings wise, it's doing well. So like, it's exactly what they wanted. But like, storytelling wise, what was the goal here? Like, for Ariana, I think that her reactions are completely understandable, and like, for her to be like, you're forcing Tom Sandoval on me, it's like, I get that. She's absolutely right from a like normal human. That's a normal human reaction. From a reality star reaction, like perspective, I'm kind of just like, well, what did you think the season was going to be? Like, maybe production told her you'll never have to film with him. Was it going to only be solo scenes or scenes with Katie about the sandwich shop? Like, I don't really know what she came into this season imagining.
I think that they certainly gave her the choice. And there are these scenes where she and Katie appear to be making the choice to film, like beach day or not film.
Sure.
But I think she thought that Lala and Sheena would probably be a little bit more vocal or vociferously on her side.
Yeah.
And that hasn't panned out. So I think what we're watching right now is frustration that she's feeling about being in the same space with Tom, and what we're probably going to watch when it comes to the reunion and also in real time, because she hasn't really talked about this,
Sheena
is
seems
upset about the friends.
Yeah, Sheena seems to be kind of like walking that line more carefully, whereas Lala is like scorched earth.
Yeah, Lala is certainly scorched earth. I think Sheena's sort of dangling the carrot of like, I'm hurt, but I'm hopeful that maybe we'll like meet up for coffee or something when she's back in LA. But I don't, if she, it was an issue of timing before, it's no longer time. It's now timing, and also, are you the person I'm going to be invested in sharing stuff with, especially if Sheena's very close to Lala? Like, Ariana's whole thing is, don't be friends with Tom because I don't want my info to to Tom. And now I'm not equating the two, but I'm also thinking like Lala's gone so hard at Ariana lately that I could imagine someone being very close to Lala is probably not in line with like what Ariana wants.
Yeah, it's, I feel so complicated about this season because I really feel like what Lala is doing makes no sense to me. Like, you know, I think that there's obviously envy there, and that's very true of Sheena. Sheena's being more direct about it, of like, Ariana got this opportunity that I wanted because of all of this. Like, and Sheena is to me like sort of the tragic figure of this show because the spinoff was built around her, and she's never been the star. Like, she showed up season one and Stassi was immediately the alpha, and immediately Sheena was like a supporting character in the Stassi and Jack story, you know? So it's like, Sheena's always been sort of sidelined, and I think there's a ton of like, I don't know, I think that Sheena on some level like knows that she is a perfect reality character, but also like will never be the lead of the show. And I think there's like envy there. And I think with Lala, certainly part of it is like, yes, last season should have been in her mind about her and Randall and all of that, and ended up being not about that at all. I mean, for Katie also, like, it should have been the divorce season for Katie and Schwartz, and ended up being all about Scandoval eventually. But I think that I just feel like with Lala, as much as I don't understand it from like a human perspective, I get it again from a reality TV perspective of like, we got a show to make. And I keep coming back to that, and I don't want to make that sound callous or like I don't understand Ariana's reactions, but it's like, she chose to isolate because she didn't want to film with this person, which is fair, and had Katie. And I think that like, there was only so much the show could do to make that work for the whole season, where it was just like the Ariana and Katie show, and then we cut back to like the rest of them. Like, I think that Lala being like, I'm gonna film solo scenes with Sandoval and Joe is like ridiculous, but also like, we kind of have to.
Yeah, someone has to kind of pick up the slack. But it's then the turning that against, well, Ariana's arrogant for making those decisions, which Lala then spirals off, where
I think
like,
she's like, she's taken in and run with it in a way that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, well, I guess it does make sense though for her, where she's like doing this weird zero fucks era stuff that I don't mean this as an insult. I really genuinely don't. It gives me a very small amount of Bethany Frankel energy, where during Bethany, the Rachel stuff, people asking, you know, you're taking on this whole reality reckoning, you're talking about people needing to be compensated, you're gloating about the, and rightfully so, about the fact that the Rachel interview did like bananas numbers.
Yeah.
People are asking you about whether or not you're compensating her specifically because of what you're saying about the reality reckoning. And she was like, I don't give a shit, I don't care. And then recorded at least 5 reaction episodes where she was specifically saying to people, I don't give a shit about anybody, but, and here's another thing about why I don't care, where I'm like, there's a little bit of this energy of like performative arrogance that's doing the exact opposite. It's a little Streisand effect.
Yeah, I think it's interesting with Lala because I do think on some level that she is maybe Vanderpump Rules as a show, like I don't know how much longer it's going to exist in this format. I think that Lala, you know, I saw an interview with her today being like, oh, I'd love to be on the Valley. Like, it makes more sense for me to be among these parents and being like, you know, or she said I would be a perfect fit there, basically. And I'm like, I think she wants to be on that show. I think that like the grown-ups or the people who are, I shouldn't say grown-ups, but the people who are like at a different stage in their lives, like Vanderpump Rules as a concept no longer makes sense. It hasn't made sense for a long time. I don't understand why Lisa's even on the show anymore. She's not
on the show.
But she's like still technically a regular.
No, she's not.
She is. She's in the opening credits.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not enough that her name is show? She's in the opening credits? Is it in special guest? Is it the and or the with?
No, it's like she always shows up at the end of the credits.
Oh, I forget.
Anyway, okay. The point is, like, yeah, she's barely on the show this season.
You mean the camera pan?
Yeah, but they show them all, right? But they show all the people who are regular. Anyone who's in the opening credits is a regular.
That makes sense to me. I was thinking like the Rob. Credits listing, like if you listed the members of the cast. But yeah, I guess that
no, she's
still,
she is considered full time.
I don't think of her. I think she absolutely should be in the opening credits for the show. I just don't think of her as a main cast member.
Right, but I'm saying like by definition she is. Although Got I think it. That the difference between main cast and friend of has become so blurry because Summer House is the same way. Like these big casts where it's like people disappear for 2-3 weeks and it's like they're technically main cast, but
Where did Gabby go? She's on all the after shows and I was watching the after show today because, you know, when I say I watch an episode, I mean the episode and the after show and then maybe a little Google. But I was like, I get that she's on with Lindsay, although it could also be Danielle, but she has like a lot of thoughts and she's like having conversation. Yeah. I'm like, sweetie, I haven't seen you on this show in years.
Yeah,
years plus.
It's terrible.
It's very weird that nobody's talking about Gabby on Summer House Classic. Like, why isn't anyone saying, like, Gabby's at a wedding? Gabby's at her
I don't think anyone's close to her except Lindsay, and Lindsay has her shit going on.
But is she still on the show?
She is a regular this season. She's full-time. She's a full-time cast member,
Well, then... Did we lose
Craig
him in one
of
the rooms?
Think, but
oh, that's weird.
He might just be recurring. There's like, if you go on Wikipedia, which I know is not, but they have it, but they break it down. You can see like every show will tell you like who is full time, who is recurring, which is friend of, and who is guest, which is like Vicky doing a few episodes. Like you, every show has that breakdown. Every Bravo show. But what that actually means has changed a lot. Because it used to be like full-time meant you were in every episode.
It's so weird that nobody is talking about Gabby on the show. I find that very weird. I'm like, someone, because if she's no longer on the show, just tell me she's no longer on the show. But she's obviously on the show because she's a huge part of the after show.
Yeah. No, she's full-time.
Anyway, circling back.
So, yeah, I think with like, I do wonder if Lala, a part of it is like that she feels like she can go this far and go scorched earth because she doesn't intend to keep making Vanderpump Rules. And I don't think Ariana is going to keep doing Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, I think the scorched earth is not because she thinks she's no longer going to be
doing Ariana's it. Not going to
100%. Yeah. Why should she have to care? Although it feels like the out she's giving herself on the after show and on the show and on her podcast is no one's ever stood up for me. So now I no longer need to stand up for other people. And like just like basic clip packages can show instances in which the cast members she's now castigating have stood up for her before. Right. But she's running this very specific flawed narrative that I no longer need to have empathy for you. I can now do things that are like counter to my moral code if I feel like you haven't stood up for me, which is confusing to me. It doesn't entirely track.
The best way that I can explain her behavior is like that she is trying to give us a show. And so everything else she's saying feels like it's sort of an after the fact explanation. I don't know why she's as angry as she is. I don't know why she's like going this hard.
In her soft era, no less.
I mean, it's very weird. I think there is real resentment there, but I also feel like it's almost like she knew that she was going to play this role of like the person who films with Sandoval, the person who's like telling Ariana she's like being up her own ass or whatever it is. And instead of like trying to soften it and prep for backlash, she just like went super hard instead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess some of this has to do with the house stuff. Her saying, you know, Ariana's choosing to stay in the house, so I don't feel bad for her anymore, which is a weird subversion of the idea that, like, I might make different choices than you, but I still have empathy for you. She takes it in this other direction of, because you make decisions I don't agree with, that gives me a permission slip to be cruel to you. And I'm still missing the soft era.
Right,
it's like, I see the soft era for other people, but I'm not seeing it at all for Katie, who's like less important in this dynamic, and Ariana.
You know what I always wish I had clarity on is like when they film confessionals, because it obviously happens throughout the season and months after, but like it also happens sometimes after I think it started airing for some of the later in the season ones. And it's always like, because she's going so hard in confessionals, and I'm like, but I think at this point, they did that, like, she decided she hated Ariana. That was later on. I don't think at the start of the season, her confessionals were quite so aggro about Ariana.
Yeah, I think a lot of this has to do with whatever happened at the finale that Lala's using.
At the reunion or at the finale?
Finale. Because Lala's positioning the finale leading into the reunion, but something happening at the finale, which to Lala is like the scorched earth moment of we're never going to come back from this.
Yeah.
And it feels like she's positioning it as being Ariana's responsibility and Lala's response, which is not super believable to me, but it's, I don't know if it's not believable. It doesn't feel realistic. Yeah. Maybe it's not believable. I'm trying to make sense of why she's filled with so much anger, which feels ironic because she's constantly questioning Ariana's. So what a weird experience it might be to be Lala, who's trying to position herself as like, I'm soft era, don't hold on to anger. But we're seeing the amount of anger that she's holding on to with Ariana, where I'm like, you're not able to really have this conversation if you're not proving your point.
Yeah, I guess what I would say to that, though, is like, if they both came back for another season, don't you think Lala would like change her tune and want to sit down with Ariana and make up? Like, I think she's just playing this like a reality TV person.
I think she's maybe trying to make sure that the environment is as uncomfortable as possible. So if Ariana was choosing whether or not to come back, like if Lala is making a choice and then she's now troubleshooting it of like, maybe I went too far during the finale or the reunion, but I need to troubleshoot that and do a version of what Sandoval is doing, where he's like, she doesn't buy batteries, she doesn't buy pens. So that's why I had to fuck her friend on her bed after her grandma died. Like the way that we're using examples from the present that feel out of character for Ariana directly correlated to making maybe bad or toxic for her choices as a direct response to like seeking revenge or whatever else attached to the breakup. Ariana is behaving in ways that feel out of character for her.
Yeah.
And people who want to prove why their, you know, bad behaviors are understandable are using those instances of bad behavior against her. And I see Sandoval doing it with the like, see, she yelled at me because I fucked her friend for 7 months. So that tells you that that's exactly the kind of relationship that she had on, you know, 9 to 5 in our dynamics. And Lala's doing a version of that too when she's talking about the like living together stuff,
right,
where you're trying to prove your point of like, and this is why I don't have empathy for her. It just doesn't, it's not totally, the math isn't mathing for me.
No, I think that like, and I don't know, I feel like much of this season is a struggle because these relationships don't make sense. These dynamics don't make sense. There's sort of nothing about how any of this is playing out that feels natural. Mm. And I think that what we're seeing is people trying to work backwards to get somewhere, which is basically what you're saying. But I think it's also just like, I don't know. I wonder if it would have been better if they had broken the fourth wall more, which they sort of have done more this season. They're not pretending anyone's working at Sur, obviously. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, very much reality stars. They're talking about Dancing with the Stars, whatever. But for me, it's like, what, like, why isn't Lala, and maybe this will be at the reunion, talking about what she's really frustrated about, if what she's frustrated about is how much attention Ariana has gotten.
Paris is always a good idea, and when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from Housewives. c'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Roe, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to roe.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Like,
but how far can that conversation go?
Well, maybe it can't go very far at all, but at least it would feel like I believe where she was coming from. Even if I think it's like, you know, unfair or whatever, at least it's like, it feels like it's based on something.
I think there's an attachment here between Lala feeling like she went through this once in a lifetime kind of trauma with Rand, mm-hmm. and feeling that people did not give her enough attention or grace during that time. And then seeing Ariana's once in a lifetime trauma also related to a relationship and feeling like she got so much more attention and support than I did, but I also went through something that was like ground shaking. And I also on top of that thought all the focus was going to be on me. There might be opportunities. Yeah. I might be doing some Hulu docs, doing whatever else. And it just didn't happen for her. So when we talk about the attention on Ariana, I don't think it's like Ariana's getting Us magazine covers or People or whatever and Lala's mad at that. I think that it's deeper than that. It's more complicated than that, but it still doesn't explain the specific anger toward Ariana of you are a bad person.
Right. I think it's just like I'm having a hard time in a broader sense with, for example, like Lala sitting down with Joe. It's like, did she really want to do that? Does she really want to hang out with Joe? Or is that a production request? Or is that something that she was sort of like, or either a request or something that she felt was the right thing to do for the show? Whatever it is. Like, I understand why we can't just say, well, she had no one to film with, so I went to get a hot dog with her. Like, I get why we can't do that. But then it's like, it sort of undercuts then Katie being mad at her for hanging out with Joe. It's like, I just don't entirely believe that Lala was hanging out with Joe because she really thinks Joe is a cool person. It's just, it's complicated. It just, I just feel like this season feels so much more unnatural because on a very basic level, there is no reason for Tom Sandoval to be hanging out with any of these people, for any of them to be hanging out with him, for Ariana to be filming with this man. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't track for me. So when I'm watching it, it feels extra artificial. And then a lot of the conflict feels like it's either based on nothing or based on something we're not talking about. I don't know. I've really struggled with it. There's been some good episodes, but I don't look forward to watching it week to week.
So it's like season 11 is having a season 9 problem. Because season 9 was like, what the fuck is going on with Vanderpump Rules?
Was that when we had the soft reboot?
No. With like Dana and stuff? No, that was prior. 9 was like just a little bit of a shit show of a season where the sense was like maybe this is the end of Vanderpump Rules.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. I remember that. And they came back for like Are we on 11 now? Or
yeah.
Yeah. So they came back for that one more season and ended up being good.
The craziest.
Yeah.
I mean, explosive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I really am curious what happens from here because the ratings are obviously great. But the Valley ratings have been much better than I expected.
Mm.
And so it feels like they could easily migrate some people and get rid of some other people and save some money and maybe do a soft reboot of Vanderpump Rules that's actually about people working it. I don't know what they want to do with that because I feel like it's a valuable property to them. But I just feel like the show makes so little sense at this point that I don't know how it moves forward.
Can I ask you about something like ever so slightly unrelated, which is there's a conversation certainly that Lala is driving in many ways, but that a lot of people agree with and are having, which is the idea that Ariana made a, spoiler alert, bad choice in staying in that house, which we're not talking about responsibility. We're not talking about why aren't we more upset at Sandoval for staying there versus right. Ariana. I'm not getting into that dynamic because I'm going to lean on the side of like, yes, yeah, Sandoval should have left.
Sure, absolutely.
A lot of the frustration that people are taking on Ariana is, to me, valid frustration that should be redirected Sandoval's way. So like all that being said, saying that, there is a sense, and I've heard this from AGs too, of she made a bad choice in staying at the house, so I don't feel bad for her. What are your thoughts on that?
I think she made a bad choice staying at the house, but I don't feel bad for her.
Mm.
I mean, it was like the Joe thing. I guess like people making bad choices doesn't make me not feel bad for them. I think it's a different level of like, if something's done to you that you had no part in, obviously that is I feel worse for you than if you were somehow a participant in this. I think it's complicated when it's like, Tom should have been the one to move out. But it was a clearly bad, untenable living situation. And it's hard to know what could have been done sooner, if anything. But I do think it was a bad choice to not find another option.
Yeah.
My feelings about Ariana this season, though, are not, to me, doesn't really have anything to do with the house. Like, it's sort of, that's separate. I think my feeling when I watch her is, like, I feel uncomfortable in her scenes with Tom when she's screaming at Tom, not because I feel like he doesn't deserve to be screamed at, but because it's just, like, it's not fun fighting to me. There's a lot of real pain there, and it's not, like, that worked in the finale last season, because it was, like, so raw, and, like, that was really an incredible hour of television. This is more, like, it just kind of, I feel sad, and I also just feel like it's not good TV. I don't think Ariana like screaming at him like fuck off repeatedly and saying she's gonna call the cops is like good TV.
I think the thing that I feel so sad about is something that I think Lala and Sheena got to with her, which is a sense of upset or of understanding her upset that he never said he missed her. This is someone that she was in a serious, committed relationship with for almost a decade, who not only has not been going out of his way to help her through this by making her life easier even a little bit,
right,
has been showing a level of anger toward and about her that I find confounding.
Yeah.
Although understandable because Sandoval is genuinely a piece of shit. So like, I don't put anything past him or beneath him. He's beneath the beneath. But the fact that this man doesn't seem to miss her except when coached to have emotion by LVP at the reunion is difficult. So it's like she's not processing this thing of I miss him too, because he's not opening the door for that.
Well, we got the closest thing to that in the last episode.
We did, but it just is a reminder that amidst all of this, the like mourning for our future, the symbolism of that being in the house, the idea that like he needs to feel as bad as possible, so I'm going to feel as bad as possible in staying in the house, like trying to make this man who will never feel uncomfortable is a proposition. It's arithmetic that will never lead to the answer that you want it to. The math will never math because you're dealing with someone who just does not have interest in having that kind of like accountability. And also the fact that he does not, it's, which is separate from like, does he regret having an affair? I personally don't think that he does. And on top of that, the fact that he doesn't miss her, that would be so unbelievably wounding to me. Like, that would be the trigger of triggers of, like, you know, what he was saying about her body and sexuality at the reunion was completely awful and gross. And also what he's doing now and showing his behavior, it's not even that he's treating Ariana as replaceable. It's like he's treating their history as never having existed. And that is, that would be, for me, very, very difficult to not only get past, but unpack.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think when I hear you say all that, I think about the fact that people are calling this a redemption season for Tom. And I know that that's sort of, I understand why people are saying that.
Don't like, you think it's sarcastic? I know it's intentional by production, but I don't.
I don't think it is intentional by production. I think production is using what they have to work with. And Sandoval has
wants
no
to work with them.
He has no remorse, but he is willing to film with people who yell at him.
Yeah,
he is willing to show up. And so it's like,
that's true.
The show is weighted toward him because he's the one who's filming. Like Ariana is off to the side with the sandwich shop. Like it's like, it's a really tough thing because it's like, I think he looks terrible. I think he looks worse in every episode. Like I don't watch this thinking like, I feel sorry for Tom Sandoval or that like he's being redeemed. But I think that the show is weighted toward him in a way that is noticeable just because of what he's giving. Like there's a storyline there of like, how will Tom Sandoval get his friends back? How will people forgive him? That is a storyline. And what is Ariana's storyline?
But it could have been Ariana's storyline if the women had decided to take her side.
But what would the storyline be?
The storyline would be like, Tom's a piece of shit, so let's talk about Ariana's healing. Because we're right now talking about Tom's performance.
Yeah, I think...
We would be having those kinds of conversations. Yeah. It wouldn't just be that small moment between Ariana and Lala and Sheena that we have not had a single second this season. It would be much more of that.
And I would like much more of that, for sure. I also feel like just the reality of a show like this is that a healing journey, and I'm sorry to use the Whitney phrase.
Healing.
Healing journey is just never going to be as compelling to most people as like Tom and Lala screaming at each other and then making up. And like, that is what these shows are founded on. And I just think that like, I don't want to sound like I'm blaming her for not playing ball in that way. I get it. But it created the situation where there's a real imbalance. And I think it reads as, you know, I've seen people say the show, like the show protects men and LVP protects men. LVP, I will agree with more. I think the show kind of makes everyone look bad. I think that no one is getting a great edit this season. Mm-hmm. You know, Ariana like has had some really bad edits, like the confessional where she's like doing her makeup and talking, you know what I mean? Like it was just done in a way that seemed like it was sort of made to look like she's looking in the mirror and talking about Tom Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like it was like something they threw in to make her look bad,
like she was above it.
Yeah, and I feel like but I think like everyone's getting a bad edit in some way. Tom Sandoval in the pool talking to those women in a scene that barely sit through,
so gross.
Like most of what Sheena has, like it's none of it is making anyone look good. So I guess like I sort of reject the idea of a redemption season, but I understand why there's a frustration with the focus of the season. And I think that they must have felt like there was only so much they could do storytelling wise. And I think that's true for Sheena too. Like, I think Sheena is ultimately, she cares about the show a lot. And I think for her, it's like, yes, I can support Ariana, but like, what is that? How is that a storyline for me? Whereas Sheena, like, I lost my really good friend and I want him back is a storyline.
Yeah. And I think they really feel that. I mean, I think some of it might be subconscious.
And I also wonder, like, I know that, again, I don't want to get into the, like, what's production talk too much, but it's like, they do talk to every cast member, obviously, before the filming starts and during to see, like, what are you doing this season, basically? Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much that was a conversation of, like, you know, I'm sure on some level it's like, by the way, we know that Ariana and Tom will not film together. So, mm-hmm. like, are you willing to film with Tom? I think that was part of it. Like, Katie's been really interesting this season because she has filmed with Tom Sandoval and like spoken mm-hmm. frankly to him, and I think ended up looking great. But she also doesn't have as much of a storyline this season. And it's so funny because the Max thing was like actually That scene is incredible. The of like Sheena like recounting the story and Katie realizing that she's been caught and that the new deckhand from Below Deck is there.
Oh, I don't watch Below Deck.
Okay, so they introduce this new deckhand who's like really like kind of too hot and like creepy. And people were like, wait, there's something, I find something really off about him, because then they pointed out, and then in Vanderpump Rules, he's sitting next to Katie in that episode where Sheena's recounting the story.
Oh, interesting.
And like, that's just weird. Anyway.
Bravo family.
Not the point. The point is that Katie doesn't have a storyline because the sandwich shop hasn't opened. And so it's like, her storyline is that she's supporting Ariana and she has an important role.
Yeah, she's super necessary.
But because of that, Max thing didn't become anything, which was like kind of funny because another season could have been a huge plot point, but she didn't really want it to be. And that's you know, for multiple reasons, including that, like, she has a podcast with Dana, who is Max's ex and has horrible feelings about Max. Like, I understand why she didn't want that to be a storyline, but do you know what I mean? Like, that would have been a plot line for Katie. And instead, her plot line has just been, like, for the most part, that she's been supporting Ariana and now apparently is in a sort of weird love triangle with Schwartz.
And she 100% did not want the Max stuff to come out.
Not
like,
at
that's
all.
Incredibly apparent. And I listened to a 10-minute or 9-minute clip of her conversation with Dana on their pod. And Dana was apparently supposed to be back this season.
I heard that.
And was conflicted about whether or not she was going to return, and then had a panic attack and was like, I'm absolutely not going to be back. And Katie, going by the reality TV rules of law, couldn't tell Dana that she slept with Max without a camera being there, which Dana understood, but was also like, ugh, Max, yada, yada. He was very toxic to me. We have this terrible dynamic. So they were sort of able
Katie's
to work.
Katie's face was so good. It was such a good scene.
Well, it's also the realization of like, what's
It was so good.
Ariana's face too of like,
she genuinely was like, what is going on?
Nobody knew. And I love a secret that nobody knows.
I just think that like it's unfortunate that the people who like seem to have more going on this season are the ones who are willing to film with Sandoval and have that conflict. I mean, I guess you could argue that someone like James is sort of
James having a great season.
Yeah, but he's not really, I mean, what is his storyline?
I don't know, telling truths.
He got the dog back.
Sure.
That's
hippie.
I
mean, he has removed alcohol from his life.
Yeah, no,
He's killing it with DJing. He is a great translator of reality. It's this weird thing. You know, Andy recently sort of clarified after being dragged by almost everyone in the universe, his comments previously saying that Lala and Brock were the voice of reason. And he, spoke about it, I think, on Radio Andy, where he said something along the lines of like, so I've heard from a lot of people who are very upset.
He just says things sometimes and has to walk them back.
But he's like, what I meant was that I really enjoy Lala and Brock. And then he repeated it a couple times. But it's obvious that to say you enjoy someone is very different from calling them voice of reason. And I think really, if we're going to talk about the voice of reason, that to me is James and a lot of James and Katie.
Katie. I think it's just the problem is that like, I think there's an awareness from everyone in the cast that like this could be, it won't be the end because of ratings, but like storytelling wise, they kind of have reached an end point. And there's sort of like a natural, where do we go from here? And I think that everyone doing a little bit too much, like Brock is doing too much, is because like he doesn't want to lose this job. He doesn't want Sheena to lose this job. Like there's just like a real like, I don't know. Like there's a try hard energy there.
Well, it's like, are you with me or against me? Do you want me to continue having a job so I can support my family or have my wife support my family?
Right.
If you are against me, you're making that you're. Oh, God. If you're against me, you're making that more difficult to happen. And I feel like the weird part of this is I do not see a world in which VPR is not back next season. I think that they should maybe take a little bit of a pause and just like maybe figure out some casting stuff.
I think there will be big casting change. I just don't see Ariana coming back.
No. And I don't know that I think Katie could stay, but I
don't
know.
I hope she does, because what else is she going to do?
She could, they could do something with the goddamn sandwich shop. She could parlay the podcast into.
I hope so. I mean, like, I really do like Katie.
Yeah,
I just think that she doesn't have the brand that Stassi had when she was fired, where it was like.
Katie was never a breakout star.
That's what I mean. Like, Stassi, I'm not worried about financially.
Oh, yeah, because she was a breakout star.
Kristen Doty was fired, and I think we've seen how that turned out. Like, it was
but
a problem.
Katie's a lot more responsible in almost every area versus Kristen.
She is. I think she has a similar level of, like, fame.
Yeah, but I don't think that Katie would feel the need to play the fame game the way Lala would, Kristen hopes to again. Jax needs, like, it's just she's just a different personality type. I think she also has skills beyond this. I actually, and this is not me insulting her, I think Schwartz has skills beyond reality TV. He's definitely a fuckboy, but like parlaying that full time, I don't know. But I do think he could like find a job for himself that does not require being on I don't know, just a reality TV show yet to be discovered with JoJo Siwa. Like, he has the potential for, I think, being an adult, maybe not in his personal life, but I do think in his professional. And I say that also noting he could not bartend. So, like, maybe, but I think of him as, like, a smart man who I disagree with a lot of stuff, but, like, I don't think he's, like, a dumb guy. I don't think his brain is atrophied to such an extent that he can only do reality TV for the rest of his life because he's desperate for
it. He's just a 41-year-old baby, and he's doing his best, but he's a little boy. And, you know, it's hard to make mature decisions when you're a little boy who's 41.
Well, I also think he's said a lot about stuff that he was going through last season and is going through now. His dad almost died, was in ICU. His brother is very ill and is also dealing, I think, with some addiction difficulties and has been, I think, in rehab, in and out of rehab. There's been stuff going on that hasn't been addressed in the show that maybe can influence a certain level of distraction that he had last year, which I can certainly appreciate. It's unfortunate it hasn't come up at all on the show.
Yeah.
I would like to see a human.
I'm just saying
here.
That he uses a baby voice and is a man child.
I mean, I literally have a friend, and we're not going to get into it, but like when he's doing the with the Joe stuff of like being adorkable, I was like, fuck, people are still doing this. It's just
41 years old.
Why do we have to keep saying 41?
Because I feel like it's
a new 12.
Okay,
41's
right,
a new 17
right,
and a half.
It's just,
three quarters.
It feels notable, that's all.
But that's also the difference between, like, I don't know, with the there's something that you were saying before. I forget if it was Joe related or not, but like a phrase kept echoing in my head of like the difference between something being generational and situational.
Yeah.
And there is the way that we like might talk about the people on the show or maybe talking about their characters that might be emblematic of our generational perspective versus talking and criticizing people's behaviors, which might come about through like a situational dynamic. Yeah. I don't know if that makes any sense. But just like the way that we're like thinking of these people and how they're making a decision and how that is being used as the definition of their character, emblematic of something more.
Yeah.
Just kind of was percolating in my lady brain. And also, speaking of Joe, I have a little bit of an issue
with bleaching in Tom's hair.
It was so bad. As someone who had platinum hair for years and years and also then went through the process of like taking out the platinum. I mean, my colorist who I was with for many, 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 many years is a fucking artiste. So she knew exactly what to do and how to make my hair as healthy as possible. And the fact that his hair was gold orange showing up. I mean, he did need a purple
Katie's,
toner.
It's still better than Katie's that season.
Yeah, Katie doesn't have any leg to stand on or whatever because she had orange hair for a season, but it was not good hair. Also, I couldn't believe he had just come from the salon because it was not styled in any way. And then when Joe kept touching him, I was so uncomfortable because it's so apparent he does not want her to touch him, but he's not telling her not to. He's kind of like talking around it. But the thing that I actually took issue with, not including his hair color, which I did also take issue with, was some of Lala's descriptions of Joe's behaviors and Joe's descriptions of Joe's behaviors as like harmless. Like, she doesn't, you know, she's harmless. We don't have to worry about her in any way. People are judging her too harshly. She's just kind of a goofball. And then riding that wave of Joe saying she had no idea that Sandoval.
That was so stupid.
And what's her? I already forgot her name. Rachel. She has two names and I couldn't remember either of them. That Sandoval and Rachel were, she had no idea they were fucking. When they went on a double date in the mountains together. She was so distracted
by Tom Schwartz's beauty.
It can't be that good. It can't be that big to have blocked the sight of Rachel and Sandoval kissing, cuddling, doing whatever. She obviously knew. She had a part in it. She had a part in the cover. We can't pretend that Schwartz didn't know and not pretend that Joe didn't know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They both knew. They both had some sort of involvement in covering it up. So this whole idea that like, yeah, I'm not going to drag Joe to hell because she's like a quirky personality. I'm not going to make fun of her for that. But I'm also not going to pretend that like this whole like neutered dog sort of solution or advertising campaign that Lala seems to be having a healthy role in makes sense, because like Joe also did bad things. I'm not going to pretend, but I'm also not going to like make fun of her sweater or whatever.
No, you know what I'm saying? I think it's also just like the Katie thing is so weird. Like the texting Katie, what she texted her, and then immediately like moving in with Tom Schwartz. Like,
because she's woman can't be trusted. If Kristen Doty is saying you're too much for me, do you know how bad you have to be for Kristen Doty, who seemingly doesn't know how to make a healthy choice?
Oh my God,
if it smacked her in the face, like, and I don't mean that literally. I mean like if a lettuce tapped her on the back and said like, "This is good for your spiritual diet."
I don't ever want her to not be on my TV again. But I also want her to just move. To Colorado, right? That Luke lives in.
Sure.
Just like go away from LA.
I don't know that we need her to be in a place where she doesn't know anybody.
That seems bad too. But I really pray for her in a way that I'm just like. Whereas, like when I watch Jax meltdown, I'm like, I hope you keep melting down. But with Kristen, I'm like, this is so hard to watch because I just root for you.
Yeah, but also like she was looking at her castmates outside of that benefit. And shout out to Jared Lips, who's doing incredible work. But when she was like looking at, who was it, Michelle and Jesse or something, and she just looked up and her eyes were like, I'm not joking, but like they were both like sensitive but like vacant. There was nothing there. They were like teary, but there was nothing there. And I was like, am I watching a newborn baby right now? Like, I just couldn't. She wasn't connecting with stuff in a way that was wild to watch. It feels like she's frozen in time. Like, this is Encino
it
woman.
It really does.
They took a pic. She was frozen in an ice cube.
Yeah.
And someone took a pic and put her in a microwave.
It feels like nothing has happened since she left Vanderpump Rules.
Except a lot of terrible things. I'll never get over that apartment for the rest of my life. That carpet in that apartment is such a cry for help. And the fact that she's talking about $79, I'll never get over it for the rest of my life. Where did the money from the house sale go?
Also,
where did it go? Is it in the coffin?
She has said, I'm 40 in every episode so far. And I feel like...
Prove it.
No, I just mean like it's just like...
Generational versus situational. Age is nothing but a number. And Kristen Doty is a perfect example of that.
Well, at least Jax is adulting.
No, Jax feels 40. He feels like Jax feels 45, however old he is. He's not 40. But Jax feels like the guy who's going to show up at the high school reunion and be like, oh, have you been here the whole time? Because nothing has changed about you.
I do pray for all of them. And I do really like the Valley. We won't get into it, but I do like the Valley a lot. I'm happy to talk about it in the future. What I will say is that as I was talking about Vanderpump Rules not making sense, I would be interested to see a version in the Valley with Lala and Sheena and what that would look like.
I don't know. I'm like, I'm very happy with the Valley right now. I don't want anything to fuck with it.
I mean, the couple that you like, I like do not remember ever.
I don't think I like a single couple. Oh, Nia. Nia and her nameless husband.
I like, they're perfectly pleasant, but I
love that about them. I love that they're genuinely normal and she has the most calming voice. I love her so much. They're immediately
out of sight, out of mind.
They're doing a great job raising the kids. They're supporting each other. They're working.
I think there will be room next season because
they better not go anywhere.
Jesse and Michelle are divorcing. So what's that going to, are they going to both film?
I assume so.
What else are they gonna do?
You think Jesse's gonna be like, I guess I'm done now because I can't make this work? He is the worst man in the entire world. It's like Vladimir Putin and Jesse.
Sexually assaulted Kristen in the first episode of the show.
And then sort of explained it away. We haven't come back to that yet, by the way. Well, that was disturbing.
Luke has brought it up like a few times.
Yeah, and poor sweet Luke, who doesn't understand what what he signed up for. He doesn't understand
Although,
it.
Although he's kind of like getting up to fight like he does.
I think he's getting up to fight because he's like, my it's woman.
Not like, it's not like Jason, who didn't know he was filming a reality show or didn't know that he was a cast member.
Did he literally not know?
He didn't. He thought that Janet.
The lawyer? Janet's
yeah,
husband?
He thought that this is, I don't quote me because I'm wrong, but this is what I think this is true from an interview, that he thought that it was like more of a housewife type thing, and that Janet was the cast member that he was just going to film with her as her husband.
That might have been accurate. It might not have been totally, you know, it's like Manhattan Mom. Sometimes these shows become something that might be different from what is told to them. But speaking of Janet, I do just need to say for the record that I have felt a feeling about her since the beginning that's felt off.
Oh.
I've been concerned about saying it out loud, but I have always felt it. And so when members of the cast started deciding, Zach, what's his name with the hair?
Yeah, Zach.
Oh, God, that hair. When he, Kristen, started to talk and be like, no, Janet's pulling the strings, I was inwardly screaming because I was like, yes, I 100%
okay,
believe
but like also
everybody's responsible for something. Kristen keeps fucking up with the whole like...
Maybe I meant homophobic and not racist.
No, and she's like, how could you guys bring that up? I was laughing so hard. And the looks of disbelief on everyone's faces was magical. But I do think that Janet was like stirring that goddamn pot. And I also think she's great at telling a story. So yeah. I do believe her. I think everybody's a little bit. Everyone's lying a little bit in this, but
I think that they were fully
crafty.
Talking before the show and were like, can you believe they cast this Republican who like doesn't like gay people? I think they had that talk before the show started filming because they weren't like close with Michelle beforehand.
Yeah, I think that they were shit talking and also thinking of like, this is something we can use on camera.
I don't
as
even
needed.
Know if it was like that because I think politically they might not even want it to be a fight.
No, I think that there was
You think they were like going to take her down on
100%.
Camera. Regardless, they were totally talking shit and Kristen just brought it up.
And but now everyone's pretending that it never happened.
But I do want to know why she keeps saying like
racism?
No, why she keeps saying like I'll keep all your secrets. It's so funny.
Wait, was that a threat when she said that to Michelle, when she texted Michelle?
Yes.
It was a threat, right?
Of course.
But it's Kristen, so it's like, you know what, baby learning to walk.
She also said at the table like I've protected you. Like, it was so obvious that she's like, I have dirt on you. Oh, so funny. Oh, what a blessing to it's
Valley
just like,
is so chaotic.
I just can't believe that The Valley is the show that I look forward to and Vanderpump Rules the show that I'm like, I'm going to get through it. But I really like, I want more for everyone on Vanderpump Rules basically, except for Tom Sandoval.
I don't think enough about him to be like he.
I'm not saying I want him like further punished.
Get
I just
a lobotomy,
mean,
I guess.
I just mean that
I don't.
I just mean that I want better for most of them. That I think that they are like either tortured by having to film with these people or they are being forced to act in ridiculous ways to make a TV show. And it doesn't, I don't think anyone needs to be doing that.
Can I just shout out Shanna? How do you say Shanigans?
Shenanigans?
No, but it's Shanigans. I know the whole point of it is that it's Sheena, but Shanigans. I can't get past it. I can't say it. I don't know how to pronounce it, but she put out a podcast episode today and it's like Hot Topics, Stassi, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But also Jax's Pasta Habits is the title of the podcast episode where she's like, somebody's been eating the pasta because she's explicitly saying essentially Jax is a cokehead and he said stuff about my parenting that made me really upset. But one of the reasons he did it is he's fucking high and outside of his mind, which I am into Sheena saying.
Yeah.
I'm like into that kind of energy, which is obviously on top of a
lot
of
Sheena
hurt.
On The Valley.
Yeah, actually, that would make a lot of sense to put her on The Valley.
Put her on The Valley. Like, I just think that, like,
if it's good, but I don't think VPR, they're going to squeeze every ounce of it that they possibly can. They're not ready. They're not ready to say bye bye. There's going to be a season 12. I just think they need a little bit of a pause. But lucky for Sheena and Lala that there's an option
for
them.
I you're probably right that they'll do at least one more season. But I think because the ratings for The Valley shot up so quickly, there's enough that there's that much interest.
And it's
when
so
it's
much
just
less
when it's
produce.
Jax and Kristen, like that there's that much interest. I'm like, I think that they really could have something here if they just added Lala and Sheena.
Well, that was their original plan, was to like spin
right, to have
off.
It be a fold.
Can we just take a second, because before we wrap this episode, and just talk for a little second about Britney's press tour of I woke up one day and realized I was married to Jax, and all of her examples are to me so upsetting. I believe every single thing that she's saying about Jax, the way he treats her, refuses to do stuff, lives in an alternate universe, wants her to move back home so it's like easier to talk to about people, lies through his ass, tells the entire world she had a stroke when he knew that she didn't, but he was making a moment and wasn't thinking of anyone else but himself. Like, it's just
the that's opposed to the behavior that he exhibited from the moment she met him.
That's the thing. Is like, it's not even about you make a vow and like whatever happens, happens. When has he ever shown you a single instance of his character that showed he was a different person or had evolved to such an extent that old Jax didn't live here anymore? Right. Or at least it was majority new Jax or something else. Like,
well, we talked about having, like, I'm trying to get the wording right, but you're talking about people making choices, and if you could still feel, work back with me. We were talking about Ariana in the house.
Mm-hmm. And like empathy?
Whatever it is.
Okay.
Brittany is someone who no one deserves to be treated like that, the way Jax treats her.
Empathy versus care, maybe?
But I also am like, you knew exactly what you were signing up for and had 10,000 red flags and married this man for TV. So like, I don't feel that bad. I really don't feel bad. I'm like, I don't know what you expected. He is a monster.
He is a pathological liar. I feel bad, but I'm also like, how could you be surprised? I don't even think she's surprised. I think maybe she thought, I can work through this. And maybe a part of that was like, and we're making so much money being on TV. Like, I don't know.
Well, I don't think, I think they both intended to be on TV longer, but I'm like, what was happening between that and the Valley?
Between them being offline and then going back online, signing back into AM
chat. What were they
doing
for the last few years?
Waiting to be back on TV and going heavily into debt. Because if Ariana and Sandoval are in some uncomfortable waters with the living together, can you imagine going through a divorce with whatever Jax has maybe leveraged of their assets to pay for something else?
She moved out already, right? She's in an Airbnb.
She's paying in an Airbnb that she can't afford. And he is covering, I think, the mortgage, and she's covering everything else. Maybe
Sandoval can send her some money.
That's one of his best character traits is his Venmo access. And Sandoval, if you're listening, my Venmo DMs are very open. And so I would appreciate that as well. If, you know, Sheena no longer needs that COVID cash, sign up for the Patreon. There's a premium tier. Okay, thank you so much, sir. I just did need to shout that out because the recent press has been like, oh god, that sucks, totally believe it, need to hear more about that. We need a Valley reunion, we need it. But I do want to hear more about like the Janet in the weeks to come. Found that fascinating that she's like a little that energy there, there's something else happening. I could make a comparison to anything
Star Wars-ian, but I don't
know any of it.
There's something about a pregnant villain.
She has since given birth, right?
Now she's gonna be a villainous mom.
I don't care about any of them enough to look at their Instagrams, except I did look at Jesse's to see how many followers he has. He has like, I think, maybe around 4,000.
should I follow?
I think I maybe did. I just wanted to kind of see where he was at.
Dark energy.
He is the worst person. It's like, you can't really compare him to Jax.
I think
honestly,
they're both terrible people.
They are. They're just he's insidious. And if I ever hear him say Capri one more time and him talking.
Capri?
Oh, is that what he was calling it? Capri?
He was saying like Capri or something. Or was he saying, he was saying something wrong is what he was saying.
He was just saying it too much. Uh-huh. And I don't need to hear about him like staying at a mid-level hotel or putting all of his money to stay at a nice hotel so he could be near billionaires and pretend that's for, I mean, it's a write-off genuinely, but to pretend that's like fun and exciting. I guess for some people it is. It's just, what's the ambulance chaser version of being so attracted to cash? Like to be so attracted to cash and success where you're just like going after, trying to stay in a hotel two blocks down from where Elon Musk might be pulling up and that being the thing that you're so attracted to.
I don't know, but I do kind of wonder how people like that exist when they're not on television, because it just feels like all they've been doing is waiting for this moment.
A moment like, what was it?
Moment like, some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this.
It was. Yeah. Some people do wait a lifetime for a moment like this. And I'm so thankful to them for doing the gift, for giving the gifts. And the best thing about Jesse is that, much like Jax, like, he's not capable of learning the lessons necessary for, like, having a healthy relationship or, like, being a kind person more than 3% of the time. And that's great for TV. That's great for this kind of reality TV, because I don't have to be married to him, so I can just watch.
Yeah.
Shout out to Michelle. Louis Weitzman, tell the AGs and the tippers where they can follow you on social.
You can follow me at Louis Weitzman on Twitter/X.
No, Twitter.
And also on Instagram and Letterboxd.
I was going through some, I walked 10 miles yesterday, which I'm not supposed to do, but I just haven't been moving. So I was like, I'm going to move a lot. And so I was watching, because you just said X, I was watching a bunch of John Oliver clips. Mm-hmm. And each clip is, you know, at least 30 minutes long. And his Elon Musk drag is so fucking good. It's on YouTube. You don't need to have HBO, which is what we're calling it. We're not calling it Max. We're calling it HBO. It's, I highly recommend it to anybody. And I also watched the one on the monarchy, which is also a pretty incredible drag, but it's just, it's a very sublime, just kind of, it's a fascinating look into all things Elon Musk. I couldn't more highly recommend it. Anywho, after watching that, you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Join the Andy Scrolls Patreon, number one way to support the pod, get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more, including that 2-hour, 2-part Satchel Spectacular up now that includes nearly 30 of your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, also known as Satchels of Gold, about all things relational between Lala, Ariana, Katie, Sheena, and oh yes, Tom. So listen to those apps out now and support the pod. Number one way, best way to do that. Words are hard. At patreon.com/AndyScrolls. And again, I'm on Instagram and allegedly threads at Dean Galley. Louis Weitzman, thanks so much for coming on Tip.
Thanks for having me.
Here's a tip. This was a joy. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.